This is Jay Sekulow in Washington, D.C. Major issues in Mexico and the United States.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hi, everybody. There's a lot to talk about. I want to start first with more of these mail bombs have been sent around the country. I want to say something very clear here, that if you look at the definitions legally of acts of terrorism, these are acts of terrorism. It doesn't a device does not have to be detonated in order to be deemed an act of terrorism. And Andy, as a former federal prosecutor, you know that the incidents themselves can constitute acts of terrorism.
That's exactly correct. You don't have to have a detonation. You don't have to have a blow up. If you have an intent to harm somebody by the use of a device such as these that have been sent all over the country, 9, I believe, has been identified so far, then that intent suffices to constitute an act of terrorism under federal law and could be an act of violative of state laws, too. I mean, it could amount to aggravated assault and even attempted murder.
So, Harry, when you look at this, what's going on right now, obviously, we still don't know who's responsible for this, but I don't think there can be any doubt that those that are responsible, either individuals or groups or whoever it might be, have engaged in, I just want to be clear on this because I think there's a lot of confusion in some of the media on this. These are still acts of terrorism.
Absolutely. So terrorism, in the broadest sense, amounts to the use of violence as a means to create terror among the masses, or in this particular case, among particular individuals, which will then fuel fear among the masses. And so we now have at least 9 devices that have been identified by the FBI targeting largely prominent Democrats and at least 1 media outlet. And clearly, it's time for action, and we should not tolerate this in a republic that is committed to the rule of law.
One of the things I want to suggest here is that while the FBI and Homeland Security are all engaged, there's both federal and state law components to this. When we come back after the break, we're going to talk about what's going on in Mexico and the intervention actions going on down there. But as it relates to these pipe bombs, Andy, you mentioned this. It's important for people to understand. I want to understand there is state components to this.
Yes, of course. There are 2 sovereignties here involved, the United States and federal law that applies to proscribe and prohibit terroristic devices such as these, which, as Harry mentioned, are designed to harm human life. But there are also state crimes involved because each state has the right to enforce its criminal laws within its own jurisdiction, within its own boundaries. And that would involve, as I said, the possibility of aggravated assault, even acts of terrorism that may be violative of state law provisions. And certainly it could reach the level of attempted murder because these things could kill people, and that's the intent of whoever the lunatic crazed sender or senders of these devices is, Jay.
Well, look, this is one of these situations, and I think we have to be clear here that not only is local and federal law enforcement involved, but all of us need to be vigilant as this matter becomes, again, under investigation, and hopefully they'll find out who the perpetrator of this was. And I want to say this clearly. I don't view this as a Republican, Democrat, independent, libertarian issue. This is an American issue. When someone tries to engage in this kind of activity targeting, in this particular case, primarily political leaders, it's wrong, period. When the attempts at really assassinate Steve Scalise and others in Washington, D.C. during the congressional softball game, it was the same kind of thing. It's not a Republican, Democrat issue. It's an American issue. We don't allow acts of terror. We prosecute those. And unfortunately here, so far, our law enforcement has been able to prevent. And I think that's a big step, and it's a positive step. So far, there's been no injuries. That, by the way, there are injuries because people are having to go down buildings 50 flights of stairs and be evacuated. So let me tell you something. That strikes fear, and that's why terrorism statutes are written now the way they are. We come back from the break. We're going to get updates on what's happening in the situation in Mexico. We've been advocating for intervention in an appropriate way diplomatically before a border confrontation. We're going to talk more about that when we come back from the break. We'll also take your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Back with more in a moment.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life. Standing up for our good friend Israel. Working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington. Battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world. And a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ, become a member, and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. It's Jay Sekulow here with our team. I'm in Washington with Andy Economo. Harry Hutchinson, our director of policy, is in our studios and our media center. So this is what's happened. There's negotiations going on from what I have been able to determine and what we're seeing also in the media reports between the United States and Mexico on how to handle what is called a migrant caravan as it journeys now deeper into Mexico. It's still far away from the United States, but our borders, but when I say far away, about 1,000 miles in some cases 1,700. But it's in Mexico, and it's there's a determination right now as to what to do. There is this approach called metering, which would slow the flow of migrants to ports of entry. That's one aspect that's being done. Also, negotiations on whether the U.S. could deport caravan migrants back to Mexico or to their country of origin, a process known as return to territory. Because generally when you seek asylum from a country, the first country you get to is generally where you're seeking asylum, if in fact that country would be a safety net for the asylum seeker.
Yeah, Jay, the idea is that the first country that you reach in which you feel safe is the country that should be the one that receives the application for your asylum. So they've started in Honduras, Guatemala, El Salvador. They've moved north through Mexico. It would seem very obvious that Mexico should be the first country in which asylum is sought and not the United States. So that is a correct statement of what the applicable international law is on this score.
So I guess the question really becomes here, and that's what you got to look at, Harry, and that is what we're calling for, and we've called for from the outset of this, is intervention inside Mexico in cooperation with Mexican authorities. And it appears to be that's where some of this is going.
Absolutely. So we have suggested previously at the ACLJ that diplomatic negotiations are essential in resolving this crisis. We have suggested that such efforts should be aimed at stemming the flow of migrants, slowing them down, and finally stopping them before they reach U.S. ports of entry. And so late yesterday, CNN reported on negotiations between the United States and Mexico on how to handle the migrant caravan. And I'm sure there are additional negotiations and discussions that are ongoing between Mike Pompeo and his Mexican counterpart, and between the president of the United States and the leader of the Mexican government. So as you correctly suggested, Jay, the focus of the discussions now is on a process called metering, which would indeed slow down the flow of migrants. There's some evidence from news reports that the number of migrants has actually dissipated, which would be a helpful outcome. But it's still potentially a future crisis, and we need to maintain a clear focus on negotiations with Mexico and these other countries. We also should continue to place pressure on the Honduran authorities, the El Salvadorians, and the leaders of the Guatemalan government. They receive huge amounts of aid from the United States, and I think it's correct to tell them that there will indeed be consequences if indeed members of their country attempt to migrate illegally to the United States. And lastly,
we should maintain
our focus on the rule of law, that individuals who wish to come to the United States as refugees should go through normal channels.
You know, it's interesting you say that, Harry, because here's one of the things that I want to say. I had an opportunity to be with Secretary Pompeo in a reception on Tuesday for Andrew Brunson. And it was clear, and it was a beautiful event, by the way. And the pastor expressed his appreciation again to our audience and to media outlets around the country that have carried his story. And ultimately, God allowed the freedom of Andrew Brunson. And the you always look at it that way. That's always the way I say it. I mean, these are people released from captive because of what the Lord does. And there are people that are still captive. We need to pray for their release, too. And, of course, we appreciate everything the administration has done in that regard. But let me say this. When I was with them, you could tell in the State Department, these kind of issues are very significant, very, very significant. And then you take that, I think, to the next step here and understand that early intervention, want to avoid a confrontation at the border, Andy. To me, that is the key issue.
The whole idea is to prevent a clash that could be bloody, that could be horrific, that occurs between the United States forces, whether it's the armed forces or the Border Patrol, and these migrants at the border. So the thing is that we want to anticipate and intervene before this occurs, thousands, hopefully hundreds of miles before it occurs, so that it could be averted. As Harry has mentioned, and news reports have indicated, the numbers of migrants have fallen to about half of the 7,200 that were originally said to be moving toward the United States. And therefore, there has been an attrition, which is to be we're happy to see that this has happened.
Yep.
Where they've gone, and I don't know, and we have no idea, but at least it is indicated that there will be less of a confrontation because you've got fewer numbers of people who are attached to this caravan as it is moving toward the American southern border.
Let me play what President Trump had to say about this and working with Mexico.
Mexico is working with us. There is a movement toward our country. It's going to be a while before they get here. And this group that is around this table will be involved, and others will be involved. We cannot let people come into our country illegally. Just can't do it.
So I think, look, we were early advocates, Harry, of the intervention issue with Mexico in country there to see what can be done to avoid a border confrontation.
Absolutely. And that is highly necessary. So one of the things that you should do to show true leadership is that you should anticipate problems before they reach a climax, before the clash erupts. And clearly we have had time, we've engaged in preparation, and we've engaged in hopefully fruitful negotiations with the Mexican authorities to avert a crisis. And it's important to note that this crisis was initiated, at least in part, by individuals, leftist individuals in Honduras, who basically initiated this caravan movement. Nonetheless, the Trump administration has engaged, hopefully, in fruitful negotiations to avert the crisis at U.S. ports of entry. And that is necessary because you want to ensure that the integrity of the U.S. borders is respected. In addition, you wish to prevent crime. there's evidence on the ground that some of these individuals in the caravan are indeed gang members. They've engaged in human trafficking. And so it's from, if we look at it this from an American perspective, it's absolutely essential that we avert the crisis, but we also ensure the integrity of the U.S. border and that it remains intact going forward.
And also utilizing the law in the appropriate way for those that are legitimately seeking asylum. I mean, the situation in Honduras is horrific. I mean, people are living on less than a dollar a day. Again, we put a lot of aid down there. It just doesn't, with these governments, it doesn't ever seem to get to the people. That's the to me, that's the fundamental problem. Having said all of that, I think we're a country of laws. We need to be compassionate. We need to be careful in how this is done. But we have to understand also that we better be prepared, and I think we are, as to what goes on. I want to get our audience's opinion as to what they think the appropriate response may be. We'll take your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Let me go to Cordelia in San Antonio, Texas, on line four. Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah. Hi, God bless you, Jay, and all the team that you do.
Thanks.
My question is, what can the legislators do to close the loopholes of the catch and release? Is there an emergency session that can be held to stop catch and release or any national security measure?
Well, catch and release really is not, I mean, I understand what you're saying, but the catch and release situation is not really what's going to be able to handle this, because I don't anticipate that what's going to happen here is we're going to allow 14,000 people or 7,000 or 3,000, whatever the number is, the number seems to be changing daily, to come to the United States, catch them and release. I don't think that's what's going to happen here, Andy.
No, that's not the solution to the problem. I mean, catch and release is really not a viable solution to this situation.
The previous administration used it a lot. Unfortunately, it did not get very good results.
No, I mean, you catch them, you give them an ankle bracelet, you let them out, supposedly they're supposed to come back.
Sometimes it wasn't even that.
For an immigration hearing, or sometimes not even that, and they meld into the population and you never see them again. So that's not a viable solution, and that's a foolish solution. It's not practicable.
All right, we're taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. So we take your calls when we come back from the break. Also, stay engaged with us at the ACLJ at aclj.org. That's aclj.org. Very important for you to stay up to date. You could also connect with us on social media. We are taking your phone calls. So if you want to talk to us on air, this is a great time to do it. 1-800-684-3110. What do you think the solution is here? Again, our goal, engage with Mexico, utilize diplomatic means to avoid a crisis and a confrontation at the border. We think that's the way you engage us. You have time here. Time is, in that sense, on our side to do the appropriate thing, also to be humane, of course, in all of this. We'll take your calls when we come back at 800-684-3110.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
broadcast, everyone. First of all, we are, of course, condemning what we consider acts of terrorism that have taken place now with 9 suspicious packages that look like pipe bombs addressed to now the former Vice President Biden, the actor Robert De Niro. Look, these are acts of terrorism, whether the device goes off or not. We said at the beginning of the program, I'm going to say it again, that violates federal and state law for a reason. Because you've had people have to evacuate buildings, and that in itself causes acts of terror.
Yes,
isn't
it
active. I mean, it's a result of terror.
It is. I mean, it is a consequence of terror is to inconvenience people, to put fear into them. And that's the idea. That's what terror means, to put fear into people, to make them apprehensive of their safety, to put them in a position in which they're not even safe or secure in their own home. And this is a ridiculous and horrific thing that is happening, regardless of the political persuasion, Jay, whether it's left or right or centrist or whatever it is. That's not the way that we express political sentiment in the United States or dissent or disagreement with our fellow Americans. That is not the proper procedure.
All right, we're taking your calls and comments also at 1-800-684-3110. If you're on Facebook and Periscope, put those in. I've got one from Cheryl on Facebook. She says, what are the chances we'll coordinate with Mexico to set up safe zones in region before they reach the border? Harry, we advocated very early on for engaging with Mexico diplomatically to try to avoid a confrontation at the border. What about this idea of a safe zone inside of Mexico?
Well, I think that idea has some merit, and that could indeed be part of the ongoing negotiations between the United States and Mexico. It's also important to note that there are many civil organizations in the United States that are prepared to reach out and to help in Mexico with respect to members of the migrant caravan. So going forward, this is an idea that perhaps should be on the table, but we should do everything in our power to ensure that the caravan does not reach U.S. ports of entry. And so I would certainly welcome additional ideas with respect to negotiations that are ongoing between the United States and Mexico going forward.
Blanche on Facebook, and by the way, again, we'll take your calls at 800-684-3110. With the question, what would you do on handling this? What would recommendations would you have, and what do you think the appropriate response should be? Blanche on Facebook asks this, why is there such a large discrepancy in the reported numbers of migrants in the caravan? I think there's 3 answers to that. One is, look, there were some reports initially that was 7,000, then media reports out of Mexico said upwards of 14,000. Then today, there were reports saying 23,000, and then others reports saying 10,000. This is a long journey these people are on, and I think people come and go. That's part of it, and it's hard to get an accurate assessment. The Department of Homeland Security, though, you know that we have, I'm sure Americans are on the ground in the area already dealing with their Mexican counterparts. That's part of this. But the real problem here is we want to avoid a border clash. I mean, I don't think that's good for the migrants. I don't think that's good for the American people. And it's not certainly not good for our border agents. But so we've got to figure out what the right thing to do is. You can't just let 14,000 people in the United States. That may sound like a quick fix, but it's just impossible. We don't know who the people are. I do worry about, look, I think I'm going to say a vast majority of these people are legitimately seeking a better life. They're coming out of Honduras where they're living on less than $1 a day, a third of the population. So let's say that for a moment. Let's make that a given. Having said that, there are also bad people in there. Now, do I have the numbers? No. But do we know that sex traffickers use the southern border as route of access to the United States for sex trafficking? Yes, we do. That not only shown by study, it's shown by cases. So that's why you got, this is a horrific problem, the sex trafficking issue. And that doesn't, again, politically irrelevant what side you're on. Nobody can be in favor of what's going on in that regard. But this is you got to be diplomatic, and it's a delicate situation, Andy.
It is a delicate situation, and I think we're fooling ourselves and we're being very naive if we don't think that there are sex traffickers in this horde of people, Jay, because there is. That's how they bring children and others that they use and manipulate for these horrific crimes into the United States. They bring them, parading them as their children or their relatives and so forth. And their real aim is to get them to the United States and put them in these dens, these iniquitous dens, and use them as sex slaves.
You've had these issues in your state prosecutor work.
Yeah. I prosecute, as you know, cases in the Judicial Circuit in South Georgia. And we've seen cases in which they're immigrants who are ostensibly coming to find a better life in the United States, but they end up being put into a room and they're sold and they're in captives. They're in bondage, basically, as sex traffickers. And these come from all parts of the world. And we have found them on American soil. So we've got to be careful and not be naive about thinking that every single one of these migrants is here or seeking a legitimate life. And one questions, as you said earlier, what have these countries, Guatemala, Honduras, and El Salvador, done with the $500 million in United States aid that was given in 2017? Yeah.
Well, no, listen, that's a significant issue and a significant problem. In April of this year, there was also a caravan, and that caravan, which followed a similar path, reached about, their peak point was about 1,500 members as it crossed Mexico on the way to the United States. By the time it reached Tijuana-San Diego border crossing, the caravan had dwindled down to a few hundred. USA Today reports data from the government agency showing 401 members of the caravan requested asylum at the port of entry, and 93 of those passed initial asylum tests. An additional 122 members of the caravan were arrested for attempting to enter the United States illegally. So if the number's not 10,000, you can handle it. And that's the issue here. But again, avoiding a confrontation, working with our counterparts in the region, in this particular case in Mexico, is critical. But in Honduras and Guatemala as well, Harry.
Absolutely. So one of the things that we should focus on is the source of the problem. And if we look at this from a global perspective or a broader perspective, many of the problems arise internally with the Honduran government, with the Guatemalan government, with the El Salvadoran government. Are they taking affirmative steps to improve the lives of their own people? Are they using the resources that they receive from the United States government and the American people appropriately? And I think the answer to those questions is at the moment, no, they are not advancing the interest of their own people. So we should work to ensure that the governments in those countries actually improve the lives of their people, or indeed there will be consequences in terms of a reduction in funding from the United States.
So Pam on Facebook asked this question. I heard there's a second caravan which has started in Honduras. Is that true? And Pam, the answer is yes. There's a report right now that another caravan of about 1,000 people has started making a point of exit out of Honduras. So that is happening as well. Pat on Facebook says, if this wave isn't deterred, will it set a bad precedent? Of course it does. I mean, you can't have your borders overrun. But again, I think intervention here was smart early in Mexico. I think that is the appropriate way that this is going to be handled. I want to close this segment of the broadcast out, though, turning back to the pipe bomb situation. I want to make a position very clear here. We believe these are acts of terror. Some people are saying, are they really? Are they real bombs? Do we know if they're? If they're not real bombs, it would still be acts of terror. So let's take the politics out of this, and that's what this is. These are acts of terror. They're designed to provoke terror. And there are federal and state laws, Andy. We've said it once. We only got 30 seconds left, but say it again.
It is a violation of federal law, of course, to engage in acts such as this, and it is also a violation of the law of every state in which these pipe bombs or whatever these explosive devices are. They could be aggravated assault. That could be assault with intent to commit serious disfigurement, bodily disfigurement, which is an aggravated assault. It could even rise to the level J of attempted murder.
All right, we're taking your calls. 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. We come back from the break. We're here for another 30 minutes. If you're not getting the whole broadcast, go over to Facebook, Periscope, or ACLJ.org.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Become a member and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, ACLJ.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Let me tell you, we're talking about two things. One, nine of these bomb scares, and I think they look like they're coming from the same source or a very similar source, simultaneously indicates that they are. I want to be very clear. I've said that at the beginning of the program. I said at the end of the program. I'm going to say it again. Let's take all the politics out of it. These are acts of terror. Understand that. These are acts of terror. They're designed to provoke terror and to cause harm. And when you've got to evacuate buildings and do the kind of things that have to be done here, you are guilty of that crime, whether the bomb goes off or not. And so far, fortunately, nothing has.
That's right. I mean, this is a situation where, as we said yesterday on the broadcast, this should be completely condemned. There's no place for this in the United States of America. We should have ideological debates, vigorous debates and disagreements in our country. But at the same time, to use this act of violence or attempted act of violence to send some kind of message, which it appears that this is somehow politically motivated, I think to not put those pieces together at this point would be absurd. Right. But that should be completely condemned. And I want to make sure it doesn't matter, again, who is receiving it. It is the wrong. And in America, the person who did this should be prosecuted, or the people who did it should be prosecuted to the full extent of the law. And that means a lot of jail time, a lot of time behind bars, because there's no place for this in America or American politics.
You know, we get, Harry, we're used to politics being aggressive, and it's a full contact sport in one sense. But this isn't sport when you start sending incendiary devices, bombs, or things like that to a group of any people in any circumstance. But this look, this appears to be motive. We don't know who sent it, but they're clearly targeting a group of people that have political connections. Political ties, are known political people. Now, we don't know who's behind it, but we know it's an act of terror. And this is not how you engage in discourse in the United States. Frankly, you shouldn't do that anywhere, but certainly the United States of America.
I think you're absolutely right, Jay. Terrorism, in the broadest sense, amounts to the use of violence or threatened violence, largely for political or ideological purposes. There are now over 100 different definitions of terrorism out there. But terrorism is essentially the deliberate killing or attempted killing of innocent people in order to spread fear through either the entire population or a portion of the population. Essentially, what terror does, it unleashes intimidation. And this amounts to a clear and unmistakable violation of federal and state law, and the perpetrators should be prosecuted to the full extent of the law. And so all Americans should unite behind one conclusion. This type of behavior in the United States is unacceptable. It's inconsistent with the notion of the rule of law. It's inconsistent with the notion that we are a republic that is governed by a constitution that applies equally to everyone.
Here's what Vice President Pence had to say.
These cowardly acts are despicable and have no place in American society. I want to assure you we've deployed the full resources of the FBI, the United States Secret Service, and they're working very closely with law enforcement officials. We'll continue to monitor these investigations, and those responsible will be brought to justice.
All right, when we come back from the break, we're going to take your calls at 1-800-684-3110. We encourage you to do that. We're going to be talking about the situation that's right now prevalent in Mexico, and now reports of a second caravan leaving out of Honduras with about 1,000 people. Again, we've advocated for intervention diplomatically in Mexico or in these countries of origin so that we avoid a border confrontation. We'll talk about that at 1-800-684-3110. If you're watching on Facebook or Periscope, you can get your comments in there. Our social media team is, of course, evaluating all of that. So, again, if you want to do that, simply go to whether you're on Facebook or Periscope, put it in the comments section there. We're evaluating those. We will take your calls as well. So those are on the line. Hang on. We'll get to you right after the break. 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Back with more, including your phone calls, in just a few moments.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life, standing up for our good friend Israel, working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington, battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world, and a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ, become a member, and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Washington, D.C. We're taking your calls. We're talking about the situation with this caravan. We're also been talking about, of course, this what I call an act of terror that has been now seen by nine different attempts at bombs. And those are acts of terror in and of themselves. The fact that they don't go off does not mean they're not acts of terror. They are both under federal and state law. But we're going to go right to our phones. I said I would. 1-800-684-3110. Layla's calling from San Diego, California. Layla, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
And for all the good work you do.
Sure, thank
you. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Sorry about that. Yeah, I was wondering, what organization is helping the caravan come in? Because it seems like they're getting a little bit better at doing this.
Yeah. Well, the group is called Pueblo Sin Fronteras, which means village without borders.
Yeah, that's right. So this is a U.S.-based, surprise, surprise, NGO. So not based in Central America, but based in the United States, a nonprofit. You can donate to them on their website to fund these caravans. This happens to be one of their larger caravans. Though I will say their numbers that they report and the actual numbers being reported out of Mexico are far different than and even what the UN has reported. So their number on this caravan specific, they've said over 10,000, even the number 14,000 has gone around. Now an estimate is that it's down to in the 3,000s, somewhere around, again, a few thousand people, 3,600 is it's half the number that the UN reported, but it's what the Mexican government is reporting. So I'm saying it's probably somewhere between 3,600 to 6,000, down from that number that this group claims, which was over 10,000. Now that is still a significant amount of people. To put that into perspective, the last time that one of these big caravans made its way through was back in April of 2018, and there were 1,500 people started out with that caravan. Only about 500 made it to the U.S. border. So that dwindled in size significantly from 1,500 to about 500. And out of those 500, about 100 were arrested for illegal attempted entry into the United States. So when you're talking about 3,600 at the low estimate, 10,000 at the high estimate, the U.N. estimating somewhere in the 7,000 range, that is much bigger. Somewhere between 6, 7, or 10 times bigger than the last time one of these caravans was making its way towards the United States. They do lose people as they get closer and closer. People fall off, but still, I mean, this is nearly 10 times the size of what we experienced in April.
Yeah. So Harry, Jordan mentions the fact that this is a U.S.-backed group. which is not surprising. So then you start thinking, these are orchestrated for what reason? Well, the people are suffering. We don't doubt that. But we don't like the way the money is being handled by these governments. And we give them billions of dollars a year, hundreds of millions of dollars a year. But there is this whole movement, if you will, to try to create these crises.
I think you're absolutely correct. So essentially, this American-based NGO has launched an assault on the United States border sovereignty, and that's consistent with the fracturing of a bipartisan consensus opposing illegal immigration. So if you go back perhaps even 5-6 years ago, you would have individuals like President Obama, Hillary Clinton, Joe Biden opposing illegal immigration. But today, that bipartisan consensus has been fractured. And so I think this NGO sees a political opening, and it is using people who may indeed be legitimate refugees. They're clearly suffering in Honduras or elsewhere. They are using those individuals for political purposes. And so one of the things that the American administration needs to think about is, how do we deal with a problem that was perhaps propelled and initiated for a political purpose? How do we calibrate a response that is careful not to engage in an overreaction, careful not to lead to a crisis at our border? And so what we need to do is to continue to engage in negotiations with the Central American authorities, particularly in Mexico, to defuse this crisis, even if it was initiated for political purposes.
Judy on Facebook asks us, she says, this appears to be a catch-22 for the United States. What is the best case outcome for this scenario? Look, legitimate asylum seekers are supposed to take asylum in the first country where they could go to that they're safe. That's not what's going on here. Look, we should always try to protect legitimate asylum seekers. I don't think there's any question about that. But when you've got this attempt to rush the border, which I don't think this is going to end up being at the end of the day. I think it's going to dissipate out. It looks like it is. It may not. But this idea of rushing the borders to make some kind of point, where you think 14,000 people are just going to rush through our borders in Texas or in California, is absurd. But understand, that's why the intervention diplomatically at this particular moment with Mexico, Honduras, Guatemala is very, very critical.
Yeah, that's right. You've got to work with, especially, you've got the Honduran president. It's a conservative who has said return home. A vast majority of these people are from Honduras. But it's gaining steam with other countries that they've moved through, that we will help you. There's leftist politicians there, of course, doing the opposite, trying to push people out to join and continue to support this caravan. So we should work with the leaders in Central America that are willing to work with the United States. This is a crisis for Mexico as well. We have resources that we can provide to help the Mexican government. We can work together and solve this before it reaches the U.S. border. We don't need a situation where there are thousands of people to sort through at the U.S. border, including people that have been identified by the Department of Homeland Security as not all of them, but there have been criminals identified, Middle Easterners, Africans, people from all over the world who are not even Central American as part of this caravan.
So, yeah, and I mean, look, the fact that you have people from various countries. If they're coming out of Africa, like you said, yeah, or the Middle East, you ask yourself this question. Could those people seek legitimate asylum status? Maybe they could if they went through a normal process. But why are they with a caravan coming out of Guatemala?
Yeah, and why aren't they then establishing asylum? Like if you're
in the next
something
country
in Africa and you got to Guatemala, and I don't even know where else you went in between, but let's say you got there or Honduras, wouldn't you be safer than in Honduras? Well, that's where under the law you would need to claim asylum. And so you'd have to make a case if you got to the U.S. that you weren't safe there. It's not an economic issue, asylum. It is purely a safety issue to have asylum declared, and that means that your life is in danger. And so, again, it's usually the first place you land.
Yep.
Is the
rule. That's the law.
That's the law, and the U.S. Does look to that law, though unfortunately it's not always strictly applied, as sometimes people are considered passing through or similar conditions. But there's no way Central America is similar to the Middle East or similar to somewhere in Africa or anywhere else in the world, or Southeast Asia.
Yep. Suzanne on Facebook said, will a successful resolution deter other caravans from happening? I think, look, yes, in the sense that those that, I mean, Jordan mentioned you got a group that's funding this out of the United States. That's, you know, may well be for political purposes. We've got an election that's around the corner, so you've got these kind of things happen. Having said that, they did one in April, so it's not strictly that. But I think we have to be, we have to make sure, we're a country, look, I am very sympathetic. You know, you know this, that I've listened to this broadcast, I've called for comprehensive immigration reform. Our immigration system does not work. I mean, we're kidding ourselves if we don't think it, if we think it's working. It's not. So we need to do it. My grandfather came through Ellis Island. And there was a process. We have to have a better, we have a, now have the technology to have better processes. But we have to have processes. And we have to have laws. And Harry, we're a government of laws.
That is absolutely correct. It's also important to note that consistent with refashioning our immigration laws, because the system is indeed broken, we should continue to note that people respond to incentives and to deterrence. And so one of the issues that's out there, of course, is the fact that we indeed do have a largely open border crossing in the southern part of the United States. And so we need to take direct and unmistakable action to close that particular border and to disincentivize additional caravans from starting in Central America or elsewhere going forward. But at the same time, the American people have a role in this, and that is to push for a bipartisan consensus reestablishing our borders.
All right, we're going to be taking your calls and comments. We come back in the last segment of the broadcast at 1-800-684-3110. Your comments on all this, but it's the last segment, so we take questions on a variety of topics. 1-800-684-3110. If you're listening on Facebook or Periscope, you know, just put your comments in the comment sections there. Our social media team actually monitors that the entire broadcast. That's where we pull these questions that you all ask and these comments that you make. We get those from our social media team that's putting it together. Let me also encourage you, as we get ready to get near the end of the month here, it's going very quickly, to support the work of the American Center for Law and Justice. You could do that at aclj.org. That's aclj.org. And we appreciate that. Helps us do our work here in the United States, around the globe. Helps keeps this radio broadcast on the air as well. As I said, when we come back from the break, we're going to take your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. We're going to be back with more, including your calls and comments, in just a moment.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
welcome back to the last segment of the broadcast. Let me say it again, that these pipe bombs that have been sent to politicians are called acts of terror. There's nothing else to call them other than acts of terror. There's been reports now that a second suspicious package was sent to a Delaware postal facility designated for former Vice President Joe Biden. You have take that situation, take the situation that you have also, and I think this is, again, we don't know who's responsible for it, but they're trying to send some kind of message, and that message is terror, but it's a violation of state and federal law, make no mistake about it. And in the United States of America, we do not have political discourse by pipe bomb. This is not the way we do it. You could have vigorous disagreements. We should not be screaming at people at restaurants. We should not be yelling. What we should be doing is exercising our constitutional rights in civil discourse. It could be, listen, First Amendment free speech says it can be robust, uninhibited. Yeah. That's what the language of the Supreme Court. But this is not free speech. These are acts of terror, pure and simple. That's what it is.
Yes, and so this needs to be completely condemned as having no place in America or in the American political discourse. And I think that this blame game that the media is trying to do, let's be honest, there's been a lot of rhetoric on both sides of the aisle here, including amongst the media. And I think what the president said, everyone together. He said everyone at the speech, included him, included politicians from the other party, but also included some media outlets to say, you know, calm it down, and then things should improve, and we shouldn't have situations like this. Now, we live in a country where we do have freedom of speech, and these politicians can say, and they've got that same freedom of speech, yep. And they've got a pulpit, some of them bigger than others. And they may say things you don't like. They may say things that make your blood boil. That's fine in American politics. You get to respond. And ultimately, we the people as voters decide who represents us in each of these government positions, whether it's the White House, whether it's the U.S. Senate, the Congress, state government, local government, school boards. It is all up to us. We vote, and there's an election coming up very soon that will impact our Congress and will likely impact a lot of your state government as well. We don't get into all of that on a national broadcast like this, but a lot of governor's races, yep. and state house and state, sure. Senate races, assembly races, all going on. You need to get out there and exercise your right to vote.
Tracy on Facebook said, Jordan, you mentioned solving the issue at the border. What does that look like?
I think that looks like the U.S. then having to go through each of these people, which is what happened in April. So in April 2018, when it ended up, started with about 1,500. That was considered big. This one on the smallest estimate is 3,600. The largest estimate is over 10,000. The UN estimate is 7,000. So this is much bigger than what we dealt with in April. In April, the 1,500 dwindled down to about 500 when they reached the border. Those who were apprehended at the border, 120 or so were arrested immediately for illegal entry. So they had no right to enter and no good claim to make for asylum. About 90% of that remaining group is in the asylum process now. So a few hundred are in the asylum process. I think this organization likely, if they do make it to the border, whittles it down that way to where the people who actually get to the border,
yeah.
and go through the process may actually have a claim that can be made. And by the way, that process takes a long time. So that means they got through an initial step. So out of 500, over 100 were arrested, and about 300 or so got through the first asylum process step. But imagine that tenfold for the U.S. to deal with. That is something that, again, we have time to prepare for, like President Trump said, but we should get this fixed before we're on the border of Texas or the border of California.
All right. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Other comments are coming in as well. Alice on Facebook says, this is such a tough thing to deal with, balancing compassion with keeping our border secure. It is. And Harry, like Jordan said, there were legitimate asylum seekers in there, but you got to get through that process. And we don't want to not be compassionate. That's why I want to avoid a border confrontation.
Absolutely. And so Alice made a very, very good point that balance is clearly necessary. So we have to balance the interest of the United States in the rule of law, the integrity of our borders, and keeping criminals and others out with compassion. But the way to do that is to engage in negotiations to prepare American officials and Mexican officials to deal with the problem on the ground before the caravan reaches U.S. ports of entry. And so it's essential that we focus on that. There is clear evidence from news reporting that the U.S. has engaged in some negotiations with Mexico, yes. And these negotiations indeed are bearing fruit.
Julie on Facebook says, thank you for setting the standard for civil discourse. And she says she loves the broadcast. Well, we appreciate that, Julie. Look, we're trying to give you a rational. These are both these issues that we've dealt with today. These suspicious packages that would look like they're pipe bombs being sent to politicians and others in the media, as well as the situation with the caravan. I mean, they're very distinct, but we've got to be level-headed in how we deal with it. But I want to be really crystal clear on this, especially on this issue, because I'm hearing these kind of mixed messages from some. The fact is that these are acts of terror, legally speaking. There's no question under federal and state law these are acts of terror. You don't have to wait for a device to go off before it's an act of terror. So these acts are acts of terrorism. And that's what we have to remember, and that's what local and federal law enforcement are engaged with right now.
Yeah, I mean, look what was happening in New York alone, and that was like an act of terror because there were multiple devices, a giant building while we were on air yesterday, a giant building, Time Warner Center, yep. Which houses offices, a hotel, shopping center, people are living there. So you have apartments, offices, not just CNN and Time Warner, the shopping mall, a food court. I mean, it's a place where people – it's Columbus Circle was basically evacuated yesterday because of one package. And New York was dealing with multiple packages in just one city. And it's not just happening in New York. Seeing it in Delaware with one of Vice President Joe Biden's homes and in Washington, D.C., where it was with President Obama's – sent to President Obama's home to Washington and interdicted – but this is, again, it's having a major impact. That's the idea of terrorism, is to terrorize. So what happened in New York yesterday, thousands of people were in the street.
Their lives
reminiscent
disrupted.
Of 9/11 and terror attacks, where everyone walking by is concerned. Alarms going off live on television on CNN, where they had to flee their New York set. And that is a very scary moment for not just the people on air, but for everyone in that building and in the surrounding area in light of what has happened in New York in the past.
Armando on Facebook says, are the countries like Honduras, Guatemala doing anything to deter the caravans, or is it now up to Mexico? Well, the people are in Mexico. Now, there's a second caravan that's in Honduras, and the Hondurans can deal with that. But they're in Mexico. Now, you said the president of, was it
Honduras? Honduras has been very supportive, but he's got leftist rivals that are really
fueling
and supporting these caravans. So he's up against that. And again, these are presidents. We talk about these countries where the military is not always 100% behind the elected president.
Right.
And so they can have a specific message that's very good and agrees with us, but they can't actually get the action done. Mexico is different, though. Mexico with the U.S. should be able to stop this. It's a common threat, and it's a real problem for both countries.
Yep. All right, well, that does it for the broadcast today. Let me again encourage you to do something, as we're coming to the end of the month of October, which I say I can't believe it's gone by already. Support the work of the ACLJ. Best way to do that's at aclj.org. Also, if you're not getting our emails, sign up for them on aclj.org and follow us on Facebook and Twitter. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.